This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Build 4 Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Thursday morning. We got some rain for the first time in a very long time. You know what that means. Accidents all over the place, of course. Luckily, I left a little bit early today because there were two. Not one, but two jackknife tractor trailers on the way in, which reminds me of that Aaron Rodgers interview that we had. That first one there at Florham Park on a rainy day when we were inside and he hated our guts. He dealt with two jackknife tractor trailers on the way in. So there was one on the westbound LIE, and then there was a full shutdown of the BQE on the Kosciuszko with another jackknife tractor trailer. So be safe out there. And just because it hasn't rained in a long time doesn't mean that you need to forget how to drive in the rain. So, it's November, 21st? Boomer and Geo Live is tomorrow, November 22nd. And we went through this unbelievably great stretch. We did. It was a phenomenal stretch with the Yankees and the Mets and getting ready for football. And if you would have told me when we were heading into the playoffs with those two teams, hey, project November 21st. For the show, I'd say, you know, probably we're going to have a Jet team that's right there. Going to be heading into the playoffs. Got a Giant team that's going to be good enough, you know, maybe could sneak into a wild card. And we're going to keep this New York sports thing running. Well, you fast forward to real November 21st, and the stories of the day are Drew Locke spoke to the media, and Darius Padauk's going to jail. That's what we got. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, we also got a huge Knick win last night. First game on this West Coast road trip. 138 points, throwing bombs up all over the place, and Jalen Brunson having his best game of the year. I'm telling you, this thing is starting to come together pretty nicely. If you really want to talk sports, now if you want to get into the psychology of sport, we could talk about the stuff that Drew Locke's dealing with and how tenuous the locker room is, I'm sure, and tense over there for the New York Giants. But, you know, that's part of what this business is, especially when your team is losing and it continues to lose and there's a losing culture and they can't overcome it. And now you got to deal with, interactions between human beings. And there are going to be feelings. And those feelings, I try to tell you guys that they're not robots.
Feelings.
And quite frankly, if I were Drew Locke, I'd be pissed off too. I mean, like, what did I come here for?
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you're passing me over. Now I think the Giants actually are doing the right thing for their fans. You know, there's a pecking order. There's an understanding when you sign your contracts. But once the team starts losing, all of those agreements go completely out the window. All of those handshakes, all those great moments that you had in training camp and all the belief that the team had in you means nothing when the team starts going south. And the team has gone south for the last 3 or 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and now all of a sudden they have to do something for their fan base. And I was talking to two of my really hardcore Giant fans that do have season tickets. And I always kind of rely on them to get the temperature of the fan. You know, like I'm a
big
temperature
guy. Like with a Chef IQ sense, you insert the probe into your friends and then you check your phone.
I insert that probe right into them and I say, okay, let me see the heat level.
Right, and then you look on your app and it's like, here we go.
And really, both of them basically yesterday said, now, I will say this. They come from Italian heritage. Oh. So they are very happy that Tommy DeVito's getting a chance. And that they feel as if the team is throwing them a bone to go to the game and to have something to look forward to as opposed to going to the game and knowing that they're not going to score any points in the first half and there are going to be balls thrown into the ground over the heads of the attendant receivers and there are going to be sacks. So they are at least somewhat relieved. But then I asked one of them. I said, what happens if Tommy, you know, goes 20 for 30, you know, 220 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and the Giants win 24-17? You know what the next thing is going to be? Why didn't you do this earlier? That's the next argument coming if Tommy DeVito is able to deliver with an energetic performance, a good performance. But those two guys that are longtime Giant fans, they're my age, they've been around, they've seen everything, they know the team better than I know it. All I can tell you is that they are genuinely looking forward to the game on Sunday against the Bucs.
Yeah, I mean, and which is great for a fan base that is dead, and it's the same thing last year was the only positive sports story that we had in New York football. But, you know, now if Daboll and Shane stay, and I think at this point that's probably the most likely situation, they're now in a spot where they are probably going to have to draft a quarterback because the options are not going to be great out there otherwise. So they had an opportunity with two guys last year. Now, I didn't love the J.J. McCarthy pick for the Vikings, but apparently he's, you know, with this injury and watching Sam play and he's sort of getting a full education this year. Maybe he'll come back and be good next year, but they didn't draft Michael Penix. They didn't draft J.J. McCarthy, and now they've got a spot where if they are here next year, they're going to have to draft a quarterback. Now, we'll see how the evaluations go. Guys come out of nowhere. There's combines. There's pro days. There's all that stuff. But if they win a few games, they're going to be in the same position as they were last year where that top quarterback is probably not going to be within their reach.
The top quarterback is going to be Shedeur Sanders.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
That's the top quarterback. And the question is, who is going to have that number one overall pick? Does Jacksonville hold on to it and end up trading out of it because they gave Trevor Lawrence a huge contract already? Or do the Giants continue to lose and do they go up the draft board and do they end up with the number one pick? That's basically, look, the Titans are going to want a quarterback. The Browns are going to want a quarterback. The Giants are going to want a quarterback. The Raiders are going to want a quarterback.
Right, but so this is the point
is
that
the Jets are going to want a quarterback.
How Tommy DeVito plays, just like last year, is going to affect the future of this organization.
Yes, yes. So all these teams, there's like seven teams in the top 10 that all need quarterbacks.
Just like there were three ahead of the Giants last year. And they all took quarterbacks, and if Tommy DeVito didn't win some of those games last year, maybe they would have had one of those top three guys.
You got to find the right guy that can handle all this. There's a lot to be handled here. Now, a little bit different for the Giants than it is the Jets. The Jets need more than that. I mean, they're gonna need real strong personalities to stand up there in front of their fan base and say, we're starting over again. And there are good players on the Jet roster. There's no question about it. Whether or not they can come together as a team and play better next year, that's a whole nother story. But for the Giants, I mean, it really is going to come down to where are they in the pecking order when it comes to the draft in 2025. And if they're going to be outside of that, you know, there's going to be a couple of other quarterbacks that will ascend, if you will. They'll go up the
out of nowhere guys.
Right.
You know, it always happens where
yes, of course.
Teams who are desperate for quarterbacks because their jobs are on the line or in their salary cap situation and they need to have a guy in a rookie deal to be able to have the best roster. And then you get these guys that are overrated and drafted way above where they should be drafted and they end up being busts. So
I mean, there's all sorts of stuff out there now, like Kirk Cousins has had a good year for the Falcons, probably not as good as they were hoping for or not as explosive. They shouldn't be where they are. I mean, they're in first place in their division, but they've lost too many games and, you know, they didn't compete out in Denver at all. And that's not why you give a guy $100 million. You know, you want to go out there, you want to compete, you want to have a chance to win every single game. And there may be a little bit of the bloom off the rose, if you will, down there in Atlanta. And I'm sure they're watching Michael Penix. I'll be looking for that big Penix. Watching Michael Penix in practice, much like, and I'm not saying he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes, but you know that I really liked him coming out of Washington. I loved his accuracy. He reminded me like of Tua because he's left-handed. He plays that kind of way. He doesn't run around. He's a smart player. He's got a really strong arm. He's a really accurate player. I'm sure that they're watching him in practice, much like Kansas City used to watch Patrick Mahomes that first year he was there. And maybe Michael Penix will get a chance to play some football here late in the season if, in fact, the Falcons are playing in some games that don't mean anything. And just like the Chiefs played Patrick Mahomes the last game of his rookie year, and he lit up Denver. Like, you knew it was coming. Mm. So I think that may be happening down in Atlanta as we speak. And if that's the case, guess who's going to be available?
Kirk Cousins.
That's right. And he's going to be one of your stopgap guys. Because everybody around here, at least at this station, when I turn on the station and I listen to it.
Stopgap guy?
I hear so much stopgap talking. It's unbelievable. Mm.
Yeah, okay. So stopgap then for who? So then.
Well, that's the point.
So you're going to bring in Kirk Cousins out of history of putting up big numbers and a history of winning games. You're going to bring him in just to be in the draft the next year. To try to get a top quarterback,
I mean, they want to win.
You're going to probably be picking like 15th again.
Look, whoever the coach is,
it's a nightmare.
They want a quarterback that they can count on, that they can trust. Now, look, for Tommy DeVito, here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity to show the Giants that you can either be the next Brock Purdy, or you can be at least a serviceable quarterback that they can throw out there, and you will give them an effort and win ball games. And he could be your stopgap.
Yeah,
I mean, he could be your starter going forward. He could be your stop gap going forward. I don't think, you know, I think with the way that Drew Lock is reacting to all this, which I appreciate 100%. I get his take on things.
Yeah.
He's not going to be here.
Of course not. Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're basically screwing him over is what they're doing. And maybe he didn't realize what he was getting himself into. Maybe he thought it was going to be different. And that he would actually have a chance because he knew that in Seattle he was not going to have a chance to unseat Geno Smith. Like, he had a chance to come here with a lame duck quarterback that wasn't playing well. And there were a lot of question marks. And he had an injury history. Maybe he thought he would get into games and be able to start games maybe in week 3, 4, or 5, not here in week 11.
Yeah, I think the best way to explain this whole thing is they brought in Drew Lock with the hopes that this team would be competitive. And knowing that Daniel Jones has an injury history, that if he went down, they had a guy like Drew Lock, like Geno Smith went down last year, and Drew Lock came in and played really well for a short amount of time, so they'd have a professional quarterback to be in there if Daniel Jones was hurt to make sure they didn't fall out of the playoff race. The way it turned out, the team is dead. They're 2-8. There's nothing going on. And the only exciting thing that the Giants have had in a very long time was Tommy DeVito last year. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, we're terrible at home. We can't win a game. Our fan base hates us. Let's throw him Tommy DeVito again and see if we can have a little bit of fun before the season is over.
I agree with that. I agree with that assessment. And maybe it wasn't said in those words, but I'm sure that internally that's probably what's going on. Like I said, maybe if this game were away this week, maybe it would have been Drew Lock. I don't know. I know that there are all sorts of incentives out there. You know, SpotTrack put it out there. This is why he's not playing. I'll tell you one thing. As a former player who got screwed over when it came to incentives, there is nothing worse than getting screwed over. Feel like you cannot trust that front office. You cannot trust that ownership. You cannot trust the coach.
So what do you think Daniel Jones is thinking at this point where he is now the fourth quarterback? But now it's clear to me that even though they threw him out there for 10 games in NFL football with him getting his face kicked in, that now they don't want him seeing the field because of the potentially injury guarantee at this point, because they know he's not the future. They know that he's done. They know his future here is nothing. So what they're going to do is make sure that he can't even get anywhere near the field.
Yeah, now,
the fourth quarterback.
And again, remember, we're talking about human beings here. We're talking about certain psychological feelings that everybody has, and there's a distrust. You know, you come together as a team. You win, it's easy to stay together as a team. You lose, now all of a sudden things are going to start happening where players are going to be aware of what's happening and what the team is doing. So they now know that their captain, their starting quarterback, their $41 million man, is now being relegated to being the fourth quarterback and basically being an afterthought. And it's going to be really tough for Daniel to handle this. It's going to be a really tough thing for him to handle and deal with. And I know because I've been there.
Is he going to dress for the games?
I don't know. He may not. I don't know what's worse. If you make him dress for the games, that means he's on the sideline and he's got to hear it. If he doesn't dress for the games, assuming that we know Daniel, I believe that he will end up going to the games and maybe he'll be standing on the sideline but just not in uniform. Maybe he'll sit up in the owner's box. I'm not really sure. I'm telling you, it is such a weird dynamic. And it just makes everything that much more intense.
Yeah, so when Zach Wilson got sent down to the third quarterback in his rookie season, he was there and you were like, okay, he's going to learn. We still have hopes in him. We still believe in him. He had the headset on. He had the clipboard. He was talking to people and you were like, he's learning. This is a totally different situation. The Giants are done with Daniel Jones. He's not going to play another game with the Giants. Like, it's going to be so weird if they, you're watching this game and up in the owner's box is
I don't know if he'll be up there or not. I'm not sure.
But even if he's on the field, and not dressed, it's just, this is a weird situation.
I mean, the real question is, will he go to the game? I think he will. I mean, if they don't dress him, I think they will. But I do definitely get the feeling that, it's over for him here, and he knows it. They know it. Everybody around the organization knows it, and the players also know that Drew Lock is not getting an opportunity to go after the incentives he signed for. They know that too, which is not a great locker room to be in the middle of. And I told you, in Arizona, I could have gotten a $400,000 signing a bonus had I started one more game, and they told me I wasn't going to start the game that I threw against the team 500 yards against.
Yeah.
And I walked out on him.
Hmm.
I don't remember that. I walked out for 2 days.
You told me.
I was up in the mountains in Arizona playing golf for 2 days. On Wednesday and Thursday, I literally walked out on them. Now, the Arizona Cardinals at that time also had a history of screwing over players and their incentives in their contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wanted to make a statement. And I said, I'm not going to stand for this. I said, if you pay me the minimal amount of money that you owe me, then I would say I wouldn't have a problem with what you're doing, and I would stand here and I would take it. But I felt really convinced that it was all about the money, and I was not going to have it. I was not going to stand for it. And I'm sure that there's some of that in Drew Lock, but things have changed. Like, I wasn't making $5 million.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Things have really changed. I think I was making $750,000 at the time.
Yeah.
So the extra $400,000 would have been, an added bonus on that contract that I was expecting to get, but then all of a sudden, with 2 weeks left in the season, I got it pulled out from under me.
Right, and you certainly weren't making $40 million like Daniel.
And by the way, the late Jim Fossil, love him to death. He was a great coach for me. He was our offensive coordinator out there. He didn't want anything to do with it. He didn't want to talk to me about it. Didn't want to get involved. He just, I'm just coaching here. I'm just, I don't make these decisions. And then, and then he would tell me on the side, I want you to be the starting quarterback. But then at the end of the day, I wasn't.
So this is really interesting. So the injury guarantee thing doesn't just count for if he gets hurt in a game. So if Daniel Jones got hurt during a practice, in the weight room, at the team facility, they could still be on the hook for the injury guarantee. So this was a similar situation with Derek Carr back in 2022 with the Raiders. And they sent him home. You remember that?
Yes, exactly. They just said go home.
Send him home.
Basically, I'm trying to think if they didn't cut him.
No.
And was Josh McDaniels the coach or was John
Gruden? That was Josh McDaniels. Well, it was 2022. So, it was Josh McDaniels because he got fired McDaniels in the midseason 2023 when Antonio Pierce took over.
Right. Yeah. So it's the same. You feel like it's the same situation. I don't know enough about it as to whether
or
not
I'm reading
it
at NJ.com where they referenced that.
Okay.
And it said, so unlike Derek Carr in 2022, Jones has not been sent home as a protective measure and will remain with the team to wrap up the season. Wouldn't that be amazing if he tripped over a weight or something in the weight room and then separated his shoulder and the injury guarantee kicked in? Send him home!
But still, he would have to pass an off-season physical before the season started. So the likelihood of that happening
is slim, but still.
Right, so they basically are relegating him to non-player status, so I saw yesterday they had him standing behind Tim Boyle.
Well, yeah, he's the fourth quarterback.
Which is, I mean, it's about as degrading as it gets and demeaning as it gets for a player, especially a starting quarterback.
You remember,
especially somebody that they all supposedly believe in.
Yeah. One of my favorite things that BT ever said was that Timmy Boyle, he can spin it. That's what he said about Tim Boyle back in the day when he was on the Jets roster. He was like, hey, don't sleep on Timmy Boyle. He can spin it. Yeah. He spun it to a 0-2 record last year and then got caught because his agent leaked the story to The Athletic. Welcome back, Tim.
And where did he go out of Miami there for a while?
I don't know where the hell he went.
Didn't he play in Miami this year, Eddie?
He might have. Who knows?
When Tua got hurt?
Did he play?
He actually did get into it. You know what?
He was on the roster. No, he got in the game because Tua got hurt and then that other kid got hurt. And I think he went in.
Skylar Thompson.
Yeah, Skylar Thompson, yeah.
Yeah, Boyle did get into a game there.
Yeah.
Timmy Boyle.
It's crazy that he's here now.
Do you think he can spin it too?
Yeah, I'm sure he can.
Okay.
I mean, he wouldn't be able to be on a roster if he couldn't. You can't be able to spin the ball if you can play.
I was just making sure. I don't know. I just figured that you would know. You know, as
yeah, I mean, like I didn't do a download on Timmy, but I would just say he's living his life, making some money, bouncing around the NFL. Good for him.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It is pouring out there, and everybody forgets how to drive in the rain.
Yeah, but you know what? We needed the rain.
We did need the rain. We didn't need the two jackknife tractor trailers, but we needed the rain.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was talking to a few of the people, Maggie and those guys, you know, before the show this morning.
Perloff.
Yeah. Maggie comes, because, you know, we need the rain. I'm like, you know, you sound like your mother. I mean, this is what happens. You get older, you start, you know, you're worried about the weather. How you doing? Okay? You handling the weather okay?
Yeah, everything's great. No, right, it's just so really
Maggie
traffic.
Starts talking to me about the weather, and I know I'm 60. I'm like, I see the weather. I know we need the rain, but, you know, do we really have to talk about it?
Needing the rain? Yeah, no. To me, it's all about how it affects the roads. That's the issue for me. And then I added an extra 25 minutes on the way in. Fleegs was waiting for me to record 50,000 FanDuel commercials. I said, I'll be right there, Fleegs. Don't worry. I'm just working my way around my second jackknife tractor trailer.
Yeah.
And I'll be there, man.
Well, Allie screwed up the whole thing this morning because she was late.
Yeah, she was.
She jammed us all up.
She wasn't paying attention to Waze. She does not put the route into Waze or Google Maps on the way in. She just decides to go. Not smart. And she gets caught up.
Well,
don't
say not smart. Well, that's not a nice thing to say.
That I'm not saying that she's not smart. I'm saying that particular thing that she's not doing is not smart.
Well, she's got to get with the program. I mean, you know, she can't be late.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I mean, she can be.
I mean, she was here in enough time to get things done. You know,
it's kind of a rush situation though, and you can feel the tension and the anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, it did make you about a minute and a half late into coming into the studio, but I don't know if you...
I have a bigger head than you. Takes more makeup.
All right, Jerry, what's going on over there?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Flag and Anthem. Real close for real life. You guys started with the football, so we'll take it in sequence. Thursday Night Football will kick off Week 12. We've got the 2-8 Browns and the first place 8-2 Steelers. Here is Mike Tomlin. Cannot have a letdown.
Obviously, this next outing is a really significant one. When you have back-to-back division games, it is significant, but also to have back-to-back division games and the second one be on a short week on the road, man, that has our attention and urgency.
And speaking of having attention,
we could have a little snow tonight in Cleveland.
I thought you didn't want to talk about the weather.
Well, not when it has something to do with a football game. I like to talk about the weather then.
What do your Fox Weather Update podcasters have to say about that?
Yeah, right. The guys were talking about the weather went on a weather podcast last week.
They had the bomb cyclone going and everything in the Northwest. That thing hit Seattle.
You said you were a big weather guy.
That's right.
I am.
Yeah. But then when Maggie brings it up to you, we really got to talk about the weather?
I think she was making small talk. That's why.
Okay.
I'm not a big small talk guy.
Are you
a small talk guy?
I hate a small talk.
The worst.
But you can't say you don't like talking about the weather because you love talking about the weather.
I do love talking about the weather, but it is small talk.
But you don't want small talk, which is tough because that's the go-to, the default setting for small talk.
I don't know Maggie's mom at all. I'm sure she's a lovely person because Maggie's a lovely person. Mm. But I told you, you're turning into your mom if you're talking about the weather.
Yeah. It's the one thing we all have in common. We all have to deal with the weather.
And the traffic. Yeah, yeah. And the roads and driving in.
True. But, I mean, that's at least different in terms of your traffic's different than ours. But, yes, that is true.
But the weather is so constant. In Cleveland tonight, it's saying, 37 degrees and potential for snow.
All
possibly.
Right. Okay.
Up there at Lake Erie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never Lake know. Effect snow.
Could be.
Mm-hmm. Sunday at 1 o'clock, the DeVito show begins. Giants and Buccaneers first. Dexter Lawrence, we had those quotes. I know you read those quotes yesterday. How unhappy he was that Daniel Jones was benched. Here he was talking to the media.
Definitely hard, but I've been a part of this business. Just like last year when they traded my best friend in the middle of the season. It's part of the business, so and I understand that part of it.
Got to get over it and go out and play. Here was Brian Daboll reacting to Lawrence's reacting.
Again, I got a lot of respect for Dex. Dex has been a teammate of Daniel for a while. There's a pretty good relationship with there. And look, everybody's not going to agree with the decision, and I understand that. We make the decision we feel is best, and then we move forward and get ready to go for practice.
And that decision.
What a group of guys there, huh? Look at those four guys on CBS Sports Network: Tommy DeVito, Drew Lock, Tim Boyle, and Daniel Jones.
I'm sure you guys talked about this already.
Four right there.
Huh? Why is he fourth?
Injury guarantee stuff. They want to protect themselves.
From what, though?
The fact that they just don't want him ever getting near the field again to get hurt. That's what it is.
All right. I mean, you go from he gives us our best chance to win, he's the starter, to go sit up there.
Well, I think the difference was once they realized that they couldn't win, they were out of everything. Man. Like, what's the point? I mean, that's really what it came down to.
Yeah, I guess.
And then let's throw Tommy DeVito to the Giant fans this week because the game is at home.
And that's what you're going to get. And his message to his team.
Same thing as it was last year. I'm going to give you everything I can on the field. My heart and soul into it all the time leading up to it, the preparation, and ultimately going out and playing on game day, but most importantly, like enjoying doing it.
Good thing we didn't have him booked him for Boomer and Geo Live again.
Yeah, I know.
He wouldn't have been able to show up.
He would have had to cancel.
I think so.
And we were just talking about this, Jerry, with Derek Carr. It was a similar situation, but the Raiders sent him home. So they said, just get out of here.
But you know what? It may be even better for the Giants just to do that.
Honestly. I know, because what are they got? So if he's the fourth quarterback, where is he going to be on Sunday?
Not on the sideline, right? A fourth quarterback?
Well, he may be on the sideline, just not in uniform.
I mean,
they have guys on the sideline. I mean, like, that's the point. Well, the whole thing is the meaning. The guy has laid it on the line for the franchise. He's been hurt a number of times, significant injuries.
Yeah.
I know he got paid. There was a moment there where everybody thought potentially, but even the Giants weren't sure. That's why they did the kind of contract the way they did it. And now here we are in the second year of that contract, and it's all come apart. And I know Drew Lock's pissed. I'm sure Daniel Jones is pissed. And sometimes it's just better to remove somebody from a situation like that and just relieve the pressure.
He's going to be standing on the sidelines with a Buck sweatshirt on. Street clothes. maybe like a throwback Derek Brooks jersey.
But the thing about it is, he'll have a chance somewhere else next year. It seems like it's a million miles away.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a long 7 weeks for him, which I don't wish on anybody for that matter, especially a good guy. I think they should just give him a chance to just go ahead and go and take off and see ya. Just so you get get all of that tension out of there.
It seems like a sad situation. And this sucks. This is kind of sad, too, to me, because the holidays are around the corner. Matter of fact, next week is Thanksgiving.
Mm. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, week from today.
How about that? And it brings me to the Nightcap podcast. I genuinely feel sad for Chad Ochocinco as Shannon was reading a fan email about the upcoming holiday.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, what's on the menu this year, guys? Turkey, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, neck bone, cornbread.
I ain't got nowhere to go, so I don't know. But I'll send out a tweet and go, one of my followers that happened to be in Miami, I'll probably just go to their place.
I actually believe him.
No, I think he will. I think he definitely will.
Isn't that sad?
He's got somewhere to go.
He's got to have somewhere to go. When we went into the Ring of Honor together, he had like a mass of people there.
Yeah.
There had to be 30 people in his entourage.
Maybe they don't live in Miami, though, with him. And he doesn't want to travel. He doesn't like spending money. Maybe he doesn't want to get on a plane.
He just broke up with the fiance.
Shannon did suggest, and this is also sad, that maybe he make amends with her and spend the holiday with his ex-fiance.
I ain't going to do that because, you know, she might have moved on and might, you know, her other dude might be coming over for Thanksgiving.
I'll bust up in there. I sit right there. Hey, man, how you doing? You know, I sure remember you used to cook these meals just like this for me. Woo! Yeah, that was a good old time, wasn't it, Ray?
But at that point, she done moved on, so Thanksgiving is for giving thanks. And then she might be thanking a new dude.
Wouldn't that be great, though, if like one of his followers, he really did that and he just showed up at some random
hotel? It's good. It could happen.
It would be the greatest Thanksgiving ever.
I would not be surprised, actually.
Watching football with Chad Ochocinco would be great.
Didn't he used to go to people's houses to play them in Madden and video games?
He might have. That would not surprise me with him. He seems just fun.
What he is, he's a man of the people.
He is a man of the people.
Just like Jerry Rice goes around to different weddings in the Bay Area.
Gets paid.
No, I don't think so.
You sure?
He's crashing up weddings? Really?
Yeah.
He's a wedding crasher.
Wow.
What? He's Jerry Rice.
Yeah, I know he's Jerry Rice, but why would he be doing that? He's bored. There you go, Al. New weekend venture for you.
Al Duke showing up at weddings. I like it.
Wedding crasher. Oh, that's pretty funny.
The last thing he would ever do. He'd try to like cancel weddings as opposed to...
Right, I try to get out of going to weddings I have to go to.
Oh, that's funny. The 76ers lost to the Grizzlies. I bring this up because Memphis wins 117-111. They came to play without Ja Morant, and they really took it to Philly, who's 2-12. Well, the Knicks took on a Suns team last night that played without Kevin Durant. You know what the Knicks did? They didn't fold like the Sixers.
I'll tell you what they did. They got off to a great start is what they did. I watched the first quarter.
44 points.
Everything.
They hit, what, 7 or 8 threes in the first quarter?
It was amazing. I was like, man, this is all right. This team is coming together 4 in a row now, 5 out of their last 6, and got to crush Utah on Saturday.
I believe they were 18 for 23 from the field in the first quarter.
Yeah, they were unbelievable. I fell asleep after that. But I will say that they get to spend a couple days out in Phoenix, play a little golf now, because they don't play until Saturday.
Yeah. 138-122. That sounded like Howie Rose right there.
Yeah. We all just did that in here, by the way.
Yeah. That was funny. 138-122, the final. Knicks have won 4 in a row, 5 of 6. They are 9-6 now on the season. Jalen Brunson had 36 points. Karl Anthony Towns, 34-10. In terms of the Sixers, 2-12 with that loss. And Paul George, who did start, left with a knee injury.
Hyperextended it.
Yes, correct. So didn't play all that long, I think, into the third quarter.
What are the Sixers going to do? Is there any chance that they come out of this
process? I don't know.
Let's ask Spike what they're going to do.
Yeah, he's very sad about the whole thing.
You can listen to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast to get your answer there.
Probably. Yes, you could. He might have done one last night. Would not surprise me if he did.
What a mess.
Yes, a big mess, yes. College basketball, Rutgers did beat Merrimack 74-63 last night. Ace Bailey had 23 points, 10 rebounds. Columbia 6-0, they beat LIU 80-72. And in women's college basketball, UConn beat FDU 85-41. Gino Auriemma becomes college basketball's all-time wins leader with 1,207 wins. What time is that coming up?
It's coming up. Congratulations to Gino, man. Morning,
yes, I said to Al before, in reading all the stuff, I saw where he has had winning streaks of 70, 90, and 111 games.
Yeah, he's...
It's pretty, it's pretty impressive.
Same what
that's with
teams.
Actual women, which is crazy.
That is very true. Derek Skubal and Chris Sale, the Cy Young Award winners in baseball, Rangers in Calgary tonight. The Devils face the Hurricanes and the Islanders on the road in Detroit.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
So, I got a little business news for you.
Business.
Just to think about this for a second.
Okay.
So, Netflix with the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight had 60 million viewers.
They claim,
but it's easy for them to actually figure it all out.
It's also easy for them to lie about it, but yes.
No one
could confirm it. They have the numbers.
Okay, well, anyway, they're obviously going to be doing football on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a little bit of, a few glitches during this fight, and hopefully they'll straighten that out. And I'm sure that our friends over there at the NFL are telling them, get your act together.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't want any buffering, or I can't believe we're actually still having buffering problems.
Yeah.
I mean, that was with the phone lines. You don't have buffering problems now, especially if you got, if you got the high-end internet coming in.
Oh, imagine buffering problems at an NFL game on Netflix. People will lose their mind.
So, but here's the good news, bad news. The good news is for Netflix, they saw what a live event could do for their product. I wonder how many people signed up for Netflix, long-term because of that fight. And how many are going to do like what they did with Peacock when Peacock had a couple standalone games. And how many people signed up for Peacock and stay there? And you see what NBC's doing now. They're starting to get out of some of their cable channels. And they really want to try to push everybody over to Peacock and streaming and everything. And it's a very smart business decision. The good news for CBS is that this Kansas City-Buffalo game this past Sunday, 31.2 million viewers. I mean, which is the number one game this year in terms of viewership. But it's also the largest non-holiday playoff Super Bowl game since Brady Manning in 2007, which is amazing. So my boy Tony T over there at CBS got to be selling. I mean, and they also had a great 1 o'clock window.
You know what he's
with,
you know,
Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Matt Tony Toronto's, he's going federal over there.
He is.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
FED.
I don't know how he can handle. Everybody's probably coming at him, and he probably wants to, they want to, buy more inventory.
Remember what that FED was, right?
Yes, I do.
What was it? Just remind me.
It was a fully erect thong.
I didn't think you were going to do it.
But you asked me what it was.
I know, but I just thought you were like, why don't you say it? You just powered right through. And I made sure I stayed quiet.
Yeah, I'm sure Tony is going federal. I would be going federal, I'll tell you that right now, with those numbers. Those numbers are insane.
And fresh off the Super Bowl, too, where he was moving and grooving in the most watched Super Bowl of all time.
Oh, exactly. And these
numbers
are
deck. You might be building a deck at that house, maybe an extension.
But a good news, bad news situation, because, now all of a sudden, if Netflix on Christmas Day shows that kind of viewership that they think they're going to get and maybe some new signups, guess who's going to be a major player moving forward and potentially pushing out one of these networks?
Well, yeah, of course, Netflix, and it's been going on for a very long time. They've grown and grown. They had some issues about a year or so ago. They got a new CEO. They sort of cleaned some things up. They stopped sharing.
We see what's going on with Amazon and everything else, what's going on there. And then you have YouTube TV, carrying the Sunday ticket. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to figure where this is going. I mean, you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know where it's going to end up, but we all know it's going to end up streaming. That's what I think is going to happen. And depending on what the FCC and Congress does and how they protect the consumer in regards to this particular product will be really, really interesting.
Yeah, and that's something we had talked about for a while with Netflix, because they were always the biggest one. And we said, I wonder when they're going to get into sports, because they really had not been into sports. Everybody else was, and now they have. And we'll see how they do with the NFL. But that broadcast, from all accounts, and I did not see a single bit of it because it was a complete farce, but everybody hated that broadcast. They said it was pathetic, Rosie Perez and Cedric the Entertainer and the buffering. So I know they've got real broadcasters doing these NFL games.
Well, and they have CBS is basically producing the games for them.
Yeah, so it should be better.
From that end of it, from that technical part of it, it's going to be fine. The question is delivering it through the stream. Is basically what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, but everybody,
and making sure that there are no hiccups, and I'm sure that the Netflix engineers and technicians and people are working furiously to make sure that that thing is seamless, because they want their viewers to be able to look at it much like you would look at it if you were watching on a Sunday on Fox or NBC or CBS.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's sort of, I mean, I watch, I have the YouTube TV Sunday ticket. I mean, I don't even think about issues
there. Man, I can
see
the NFL guys over in that really office good. Right now going, oh, man, I can't wait until Christmas gets here and we see those numbers. And if those numbers are
dong.
Right. If they think it's going to be as big as they project, there's going to be a whole nother set of circumstances surrounding the business of the NFL and the delivery of NFL games.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.